righty. We'll go right to him. He is the superintendent of schools for Port Washington. And you've known him well over the years as far as being the leader over at Patchogue Medford. Good friends, and he's going to be quite an addition over there. His name is Michael Hines. Dr. Hines, always a pleasure. He's a Met fan, a Jet fan as well. So we always have to kind of ask him on that regard. But it's great to have him here in mid-August. Dr. Michael Hines, sir, how are you?
I'm doing well, Jay. As always, it's wonderful to hear from you.
It is great to have you. You know, I thought it would be kind of fun to do a little catch-up with you, Doctor, because you got a new venture and everything else. As you have made your way into Nassau County, it's quite an area. I know a lot of people in that Port Washington area. They're going to be very happy to have you as an addition, no question. Give us an idea what it's like as far as the transition is concerned.
Yeah, the transition, I have to say, has been pretty seamless. I've had the good fortune of beginning in mid-July and having a little bit of time even before then to get to know the community, our administrators, our teachers, our staff, and then most important, it's the Board of Education, which I have to say is really progressive, very student-centered, and really is looking to take an already pretty outstanding school district to the next level. So I'm very fortunate to be a part of this journey.
Somebody at the forefront as you are right now, Mike, I mean, what does it take? I mean, what kind of research and everything else that you you have done to kind of prepare you for this new role here? I would imagine looking over the student body, the staff, making sure things are in place. Is not an easy task as far as taking over the reins, correct?
Yeah, it's not easy, Jay. You know, what I share with my friends or anybody who's willing to listen is that I feel the best versions are of ourselves is when we really push ourselves to become better than what we are, right? So whenever we become comfortable in something, I always say whenever we become homeostatic in a way, you want to grow. And the best way to grow is to challenge yourself and to make yourself uncomfortable. And to be honest with you, in all the school districts I've been fortunate enough to be a part of or steward, this is a school district that is outside my comfort zone because I've never worked this deep in Nassau County. I did years ago in Plainridge, but that was as an assistant superintendent. And it's a very high-performing school district. So it's there are things that we will be looking at, I believe, over time that will resonate with some people, but maybe not all. And these are the things I need to consider in order to grow as a superintendent. But, Jay, I mean, you know this better than anybody, right? It comes down to relationships. It comes down to getting to know the arena in which you're working and playing and figuring out what they want and then creating a vision and mission to move that forward, which, you know, is not easy to do.
We're listening to Dr. Michael Hines. He is the new superintendent as far as the situation is concerned at Port Washington. You know him well, Patchogue Medford. In essence, so you start this year in a couple of weeks, you know, you saw these votes and everything else come through, Dr. Hines, in pretty good fashion as far as Suffolk County was concerned. Just a couple of schools had some issues, both Nassau and Suffolk. Wyandanch, we saw some problems there. We know what has gone on as far as Hempstead was concerned and whatnot here. But all in all, what is the feel as far as the, you know, the outside sources are concerned when these votes come kind of take their way? What is it like over there in Port Washington? 2% tax cap, we know, you know, things in place. I mean, what are some of the, you know, situations of feedback are concerned?
Sure. I would say, I mean, first and foremost, we know the tax cap is never going away. But we also know a 2% tax cap doesn't necessarily mean a 2% increase, whether it's budget to budget or whatever the levy is. I mean, the bottom line is I feel if school communities know that school districts are really looking to focus on the needs of their students, for the most part, I think they're going to be successful. I think we, as you mentioned, there are some anomalies out there where school budgets go, you know, went down. And traditionally, I think historically we've seen this, when school districts are looking to pierce the cap for whatever reason, many school communities are going to say no for the most part because it's really a challenge for their pocketbook. A lot of the costs, Jay, in a lot of our budgets are fixed costs. And again, I don't want to get into the weeds too much, and I'm sure that many of our, you know, your listeners know this. When it comes to, you know, TRS, ERS, sometimes it's really state aid funds, the funding source that comes down to school districts. For the most part, school districts aren't getting much more in regard to state aid. We know that title funds, the federal funds, are being reduced, specifically Title II funds. So these are things that we have to contend with. And I think what school districts are looking to do now is you know, looking to make sure you're not robbing Peter to pay Paul, right? Because there are sacred cows within school budgets that many communities don't want to touch. Sometimes it's to sports. Sometimes it's related to music and humanities and art programs. And if you really showed the community that you are turning over every rock in order to make sure you're putting forth a responsible budget that is very student-centered, I think for the most part it's going to work out well. But what happened in Wyandanche, I mean, I really feel badly about, because, I mean, ultimately, in the end, we're talking about scores of kids who are, and the wonderful people, I think, who are serving those kids. That's going to be very hard to recover from, for, I think, for many years to come.
Well, when you think about it also, you know, you have a spending plan. Really, in Wyandanche, was kind of the one to fail when you think about it. You had a proposed budget over there with a whopping, I think it was nearly 41% tax increase, Mike. And you know, as you would expect, it went down overwhelmingly. You know, you had an incredible amount of no votes. I forgot what the numbers were. You know, it might have been like 150 to 330 no, 150 yes, 330 no, something like that in my head. But anyway, you had a situation to reduce the number of students eligible for bus rides. That was rejected. I mean, it just went on and on and on there. Is that something that all other districts can kind of focus in on? Because let's face it, every year these things go to budget. Most of them pass. Wyandanche was kind of a special deal. Is there something to learn out of that from outside viewpoints?
Well, I think there are probably two things to learn. I mean, first and foremost, you know, when you look at a school district like Wyandanche, which is a high-need school district, but they don't really receive enough, and this is where I probably get in trouble, from a state aid perspective. And I'm not saying that's the reason why, you know, things are happening, but it's a low-tax area, meaning, you know, the residents can't foot the bill for everything that's going on within that school district. So if you don't have commercial properties to tax, it's very difficult. That's like the perfect storm for things to go wrong. And does it sit in the back of our minds as superintendents? I would say that's probably the worst case scenario, but I think there are other scenarios, whether what happened in Eastport, South Manor, or in other places, that you have to be very, very just disciplined when it comes to your spending. And I think if you have a very good school business official or an assistant superintendent for business, they are able to forecast what's going to happen the following year and maybe even the year after. And I think if you have a really good school official, I think if you are very transparent with the community as far as what you're doing, I think for the most part, you know, you can get through. But the reality is, Jay, when you look at the way state aid is disseminated or shared throughout Long Island, and I know people are sick of hearing this, but it's true. We, as far as what we pay up to Albany and then what we get back from state aid, it's not even close. Long Island has been shortchanged for years. The way that we fund school districts really has to be looked at. You know, it's one of those things that we talk about year after year. It's just not sustainable. It just isn't. And you look at what other states are doing. In some cases, you look at what other countries are doing, and in my estimation, you know, if we don't do something in the very, very near future in regard to how we fund our schools, our public schools, it's a perfect storm for something bad to happen. I don't know. At least I would say a decade from now.
Been going on for so long. Talking with Dr. Michael Hines. He is the superintendent of schools for Port Washington. Mike, that's been going on for a while. You know, Albany continues to do that. You know, just when you're thinking, you know, you're going to get that type of aid, you're not. You know, it's a big time problem. How do you correct it? I mean, what has to be done besides our governmental officials to keep fighting? What else can be done as far as curing more funds?
Listen, all you can keep doing, I mean, as a school superintendent, I had the opportunity to talk to our local assemblyman out here, Durso, and our Senator Kaplan, to try to get more funds. But, you know, what happens is, and this is what we don't want, is when you start pitting school districts against each other, you know, because this is what happens inevitably, Jay. You look what the school district to the left of you received, what the right, to the south, to the north, and you start getting upset because they receive more in certain bullet aid or whatever. And that is, again, that's a recipe for failure. So what can we do? I think at some point, I know you had the governor on here, I think it was a couple of days ago, which I was really happy to hear about. We have to look at what other states are doing as far as how they're funding public schools at some point. Because, again, if we just continue to tinker around the edges, which is, you know, what we pretty much do. We tinker around the edges, but we don't take a real hard look and stab at something, you know, to make real systemic change. There are other states out there, I am certain, that go about this in a much different way, because we keep hearing about it, Jay, right? How are schools funded in Florida or in Massachusetts or in Nebraska or in Texas, you know? And then, of course, people are going to attach, well, how are the schools performing nationwide? You know, so there's a lot of things that we can learn from our counterparts in other states. And again, dare I say, in other countries, not just with school funding, but just even the way we go about our business of educating our kids, that I think the time is right to start doing that now.
Dr. Michael Hines is with us. A couple of minutes remain. You know, you're an amazing guy because you just mentioned something as far as other countries. And, you know, we've all learned that you have developed a relationship. I'm thinking, is it Finland, Mike? Because you have kind of gotten into the crux of it all as far as how they operate over there. Am I right with Finland and the fact that you've had discussions and everything else?
Yes. I mean, Finland is one of the countries that and I'm saying from an educational sense, I think there are a lot of things that they do very well that flies in the face of what we do here. But the funny thing, or I think the ironic thing about how the Finns fare internationally since 2000 on international test scores, is whatever they learned from here, from America. They just actually apply it in the research that's there. So I would say a lot of things, not everything, but certainly there are a lot of things that they do very, very well that translates to very productive citizens, and then students who score well academically.
No question. Dr. Mike Hines with us. So a couple of things. Mary Ellen Ilya is out as the education commissioner. Was that a surprise to you? Were there any signs that pretty much she, you know, she had kind of stated the fact that, you know, she might have had enough here? That was kind of a bit of a blindside, wasn't it?
I have to be honest with you. I mean, you always hear these urban legends about, you know, what potentially can happen or is happening with certain officials. I think it's safe to say many of us, we were not expecting that, especially, I think, at that particular time. So I think the regents, and again, I don't want to speak on their behalf, but I think they were surprised at the timing of it. But if you watch, you know, not to sound like Wong or Wolf, but if you go back to the tape and you go back to watching some of the previous two regents meetings, whether it was in June or even in May, you can see things that were starting to percolate over time where there was a little bit of dissonance, I think, between some of the regents asking very pointed questions about things that had been taking place and what was about to take place this year. So, I was surprised. I was actually driving. I had to pull over because I was so surprised. I didn't think it was going to happen at that particular time. But now I think what the regents have to do, especially our Chancellor Rosa and Roger Tillis and all the other regents, they need to take their time. They really need to be extremely diligent and find someone, I believe, who is going to take us well past where we are right now in New York State. I think it's a golden opportunity for someone who has very strong leadership skills and a love, a profound love of public education to move this great state forward.
Well, no question. A couple of things now. The decision to end religious exemptions that have allowed parents to now send their unvaccinated kids to school. Give me the Hines reaction to that. Coming into a new type of deal for yourself, you know, listen, already, you know, you're being hit. Has there been feedback within that community? Give me the latest there regarding that whole thing.
Yeah, you know, no incoming superintendent or any sitting superintendent wants to have to contend with that, because what it does is it pits a school or a school district against parents and students who you really want to serve to the best of your ability. And you know, I think if there's one thing that I'm very unhappy with, regardless of whether I agree or disagree with the law, is the timing of it. I think it does put parents in a very precarious position when they find out in June, in the 11th hour, or at the 11th hour, that it's either they do this, you know, or they homeschool, or they have to move to another state. And in that regard, I feel extremely empathetic, because nobody wants to see their family have to make this really tough decision. On the other side of the fence, though, Jay, you can understand why that law was moved forward. So what we have to do as school district officials, of course, is abide by whatever laws are there, and to do this in a very humanitarian and humanistic way, where our hope, and I'm saying certainly in Port Washington, not to speak on behalf of other superintendents, but, you know, that, you know, the parents do, you know, listen to the law, and then what we can do is try to figure out ways to support kids if we have to in the meantime. But, you know, the bottom line is it's the law, and we have to abide by it as school superintendents.
No doubt. I thought the cameras in place on these buses, when the buses stop, Mike, we've had too many instances here, and it's about time we crack down on this stuff.
Jay, I couldn't agree with you more. I have to be honest with you, and now that my commute's about an hour and 20 minutes, I'm going to see it probably more often. Nothing gets my Irish, German, and Italian up quicker or faster than when I see a car or a truck move around a stop bus with their stop sign out. That drives me crazy. So I am thrilled to see something like this. I think the question is, what's going to happen? Like, how is this going to be enforced moving forward? Because that is a major, major concern, I think, for every superintendent, every parent, and or educator. I see it all the time. So I'm really thrilled that has moved forward.
No question about it. Doctor, it is always a pleasure. A little catch-up as far as what's going on there. You're getting ready for your Jets. Your Mets are cooking right now. So you're in pretty good shape, I would think, from a sports standpoint.
I'm very happy as a Jet fan. I'm digging the new uniforms right now. I wasn't crazy about them at first, but they're growing on me. Sam looks pretty sharp. I'm not thrilled that the linebacker is out for the year. Our you know, that kind of killed me. But the Mets, yeah, I'm going to ride that wave. I am hoping they make the playoffs. Alonso is a monster. Holy cow. I'm very happy because we know typically this time of year, Jay, I'm in hiding. Because usually the Mets and the Jets are in the dumps, but I'm cautiously optimistic.
Mets are going good, and let's face it, you got Triple-A teams on the schedule, and you took care of business, so I'm darn proud of them, and we'll see what happens down the road. Listen, a pleasure to have you know that, and let's check in with you as this school season gets underway. I know you're going to do great, and they're going to love you over there.
Thanks, Jay. I would love to. It's always great catching up with you, and I'll talk to you soon.
Dr. Michael Hines, he is the new superintendent over there in Port Washington, formerly, of course, of Patchogue Medford.